near Leamington was a major town on a main route linking the north and the south. Its pubs used to accommodate weary travellers as they rested from their journeys. One of those was at the Craven Arms, which has stabled up to 80 horses and was the location for a theatre where productions were staged on a weekly basis. As part of our Shakespeare on Tour series, BBC commentary and watchers Vic Manette spoke to a Shakespeare expert, Dr. Val Brodie, then that's a good surname, about the performance of Macbeth at the new theatre at the back of the Craven Arms in Southam back in 1822. She said they knew nothing about its existence, but that it's exciting and it throws a lot of light on the original theatre from 200 years ago.
I think it is a big story because it's a window into a world that we've completely forgotten. We've forgotten that before the railways came around, that culture came to us rather than asleep on a train or now leap in our car or whatever and go to something. So these little theatre companies toured around. We've been looking at a similar company in the Cotswolds region. We saw that they went to 40 different little towns like this, and they were performing barns, in brew houses, behind inns, and so on. So the word theatre, we have to remember, we're not talking plush red seats and, you know, steps and arcades to go up. We're talking a little place where a performance could be made.
Now, well, the town, of course, is still very busy, but perhaps not as important as it once was. And Southern historian Linda Doyle can tell us what or what didn't happen. And joins me on BBC Coventry in Warwickshire. Afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, you've been waiting a while. Have we been looking after you, though?
Oh, yes. Yes, most definitely.
There you go. And you gave me a lovely smile, by the way. I always know when I've got a nice guest coming on my show, when I get a good smile from them behind. So thank you for joining me on the show. Now, tell us what you do, first of all. So I've summed you up as a Southern historian.
Yes, I'm actually the secretary for the Southam Heritage Collection, and I'm also a family historian. So my interest in particular, of course, is the people that were involved in all of this, particularly those that lived in Southam, as well as the actors who actually came to do the performances.
Now, you've been very involved in finding out about the performance of plays in Southam in the early 1800s, but has this told you anything about Southam that you didn't maybe already know?
Well, it's a period before the census records started, which was in 1841. And you often find that people go back to that sort of period because you've got lots of records, and then things fall away. So yes, the turn-up of this one playbill actually led to not only one, but quite a lot of playbills and a lot more information. And much of it we just had no idea about at all.
And being in a story, did you find it exciting to get all this new information?
Yes, yeah, just a little bit, yes. We do get rather involved in it.
Well, it's the way it should be, isn't it? It's the way it should
be. Yes, yes.
So why do you think Southam was such a hub in those days then, back in the day?
It was on the London to Birmingham or to Leicester route. So you were coming up from London and it was a coaching stop, and the post horses and everything, they stopped there. So it was a major hub. And also on the crossroads of the drovers roads, bringing all the stuff across from Wales and across down to London. So it's very much a crossroads of everything. And because you'd got that, you got a lot of people coming in, you got a lot of people staying there, and you got a lot of people travelling all around the area. And I think this was one of the reasons why it was a good place for them to stop with the theatres.
So why do you think it didn't develop in the same way perhaps Leamington did at about the same time?
Well, this was just pre-railway days.
Yeah, yeah.
And because the railway actually didn't come into Southam, it stopped a few miles out of Southam in the other directions, we didn't actually have a railway station. And because of that, we started to lose all the traffic that was coming through.
Right.
So it made quite a bit of difference. In fact, pre-train days, they reckon that you could get from London up to Southam in 12 hours, taking either a horse or a carriage. But if you took a horse and cart, you had to allow yourself 24 hours. And that was the sort of travel time. And of course, the trains, much quicker. If they didn't come to Southam, they didn't bring the people.
Absolutely. It was as simple as that, wasn't it?
Oh, well, yes.
Can you tell us about the refusal to allow canals and railway to be built in the town? What was the reasoning for that in a bit more detail?
Well, the canals in particular, they sort of wound round the towns following the geographical lines, really. And the railways, I think it was more a case of they thought that Southam was such a good coaching town.
Right.
That from that point of view, you know, why did we need a railway? You know, they had good coaching, they had good routes right the way through. We didn't need a railway, or so they thought. And it just goes to show. So,
and do you think the lack of development is something Southam should kind of regret?
I don't know about that. I mean, in those days, it was a similar size place to all the other around. It was very much in the same size as Ulster and Daventry and all those places. So, yeah, we've stayed very much the same. And I don't think we regret it. I think it's just a different type of town. We're still a market town.
And what's the one thing you've discovered from the most exciting thing you've discovered from all of this wonderful new research? Because, as you say, and it's nice to hear that you've found some lovely, wonderful stuff, haven't you?
We have, yes. I mean, just taking one playbill, what amazed me was how much information we could actually take out of the playbill, particularly about the people who were actually living in Southam. Because one of the things that the people in the theatre did to raise money, towards the end of their session of different plays, they had what they called a benefit evening. And the benefit evening was when the money from that particular evening's takings went to that one actor.
Right.
It was therefore in their interest of that particular actor to sell as many tickets as possible for the evening performance. And what usually happened was that actor sold the tickets. And on the playbill, apart from saying that you could get your tickets from the Craven Arms and also from the local printer, which in those days was Francis Smith, and in fact there was a printer's shop right up until the 1970s, in the same place on the High Street in Southam, you also could get your tickets from where the actor was staying. So I discovered that the different actors were staying not in the local, well, not in the Craven Arms or the other local public houses, but were actually staying with private families within the town. So I found that particularly interesting.
Well, do you know what? I'm loving talking to you. You're purely passionate about this, aren't you? I can actually sense it coming out of you. We could actually have you on for about 2 hours and you'd love to talk about this, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When it comes to families and people and who they were. And there's probably descendants of these people as well around. So there's always an interest.
And how does it feel to be part of the Shakespeare, you know, the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare passing away, for Southam to be involved in this way?
Oh, it's fantastic. Because, I mean, Shakespeare actually spoke about Southam in his plays. So he was familiar with the town, and having come from Stratford, I mean, it's only just down the road. So yeah, it's a real good feeling to be involved with it.
Absolutely. Now, Vic, earlier on today, was talking about this earlier and found out about the theatre. She sent our very own Tom Cook sent him on a challenge to recreate Macbeth with Southam residents. Did he manage to do it? Did he manage? Well, just have a listen to this.
OK, so I'm here on Southam, well, on High Street, effectively, just up from Market Hill, not far from the original location of the Craven Arms, which was once a pub back in 1822. That was the location of this theatre, which has been discovered in the archives. So I'm joined here in the queue for the bank this morning with a lady here.
Yes, Annette Tompkins.
Hello, Annette. Now, I've asked you nicely if you'd like to take part in our short version, or cut-down version of Macbeth.
Yes.
I have on my phone here, if you could speak the first line, first of all, we'll get it going.
OK.
Thrice the brinded cat hath mewed.
Thrice and once the hedge pig whined.
Harpier cries, 'tis time, 'tis time.
Round about the cauldron go, in the poisoned entrails throw. Told that under cold stone, days and nights has 31. Sweltered venom, sleeping got, boil thou first in the charmed pot.
Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
All double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
There you go, Linda. Stars of the future, just there. I can. If you can hear it, yeah. Can you hear the RSC? They're calling them as we speak right now. Did you enjoy that? It was wonderful, wasn't it?
It was. Well, thank you very much for inviting us, and thanks for putting Southam on the map for us.
No, and listen, thank you for coming on and doing a sterling job for us. That's Linda Doyle, Southam historian extraordinaire.
You're just too good to be true. Can't